Good morning. Please do sit down. Now this morning I want to ask ourselves three what, why, when questions. What is the meaning of baptism? Why was Jesus baptized by John the Baptist? And when was the last time you were filled with joy through your faith? Now, my sermon last week finished on the words of Jesus, which links us very appropriately to today's theme, being the baptism of Christ. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So today, on the day when we celebrate the baptism of Christ, it's a good day to ask. So, what is baptism? Baptism is a sign. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. It is an acknowledgement by the believer, by us, of the prior calling of God. As we've just heard from Isaiah, "I have called you by name. You are mine." Paul wrote to the Philippians, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." "You did not choose me, but I chose you," said Jesus, "and appointed you that you would go out and bear fruit." So through baptism, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit to do that which we cannot do by ourselves. Turn away from our own selfish needs and turn towards God and his vision for us. By baptism we are made one with Christ. What is his is to be ours. Baptism is a sign of hope. Now John the Baptist's baptism was a sign of repentance, calling on God's people to change the way they lived their lives. John's baptism was a preparation for the coming of Jesus. So why? Why did Jesus allow himself to be baptized by John? We read in Matthew a fuller account than we find in Luke. We read that Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so for now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." It was the right thing to do. Why? Jesus wanted to be baptized by John because he saw it as an example to us. Taking part very publicly in this ceremony was to highlight its importance in the slow revelation of Christ to his people. Jesus is affirming the prophetic work of John the Baptist. The genealogy of Jesus, which Luke produces following this episode, was written to establish clearly that Jesus is very much the Son of Man, which, as you know, is Jesus' favorite title for himself. Jesus was a member of the human race. The genealogy establishes his credentials as the universal savior for us all. Jesus, by taking part in John's baptism, is saying, "This is what we must all do to find new life." Jesus is modelling and sanctifying the act of baptism and giving the act new meaning. Now Luke makes a key point, not noted in Matthew, the fact that Jesus was praying when the crucial revelation from heaven occurred. Part of Luke's constant picture of Jesus was that he was a man of prayer. The voice from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased," comes to confirm and give direction to something that had been true all along. As Luke has already told us in the previous episode when Jesus was found at the temple. "Why were you searching for me?" Jesus said to his parents. "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" From an early age, Jesus had recognized his calling. In this very special moment at the point of baptism, the Holy Spirit comes down on Jesus, which action, together with the words spoken by his Father, gave Jesus the encouragement and strength he needed to begin his all-too-short public career. It is the same Spirit that animates the newly baptized believer and sets him on his Christian path. Together, the baptism story and the family tree, his family tree, tell us where Jesus has come from, who he is and where he is going. As we make his story our own in our prayers and indeed in our baptism, we too should expect both the fresh energy and the quiet voice which reminds us of God's amazing affirming love and the path of vocation which lies ahead for us all. Looking around the shelves and tabletops in my living room, I see many family photographs of husband, father, son, wife, mother, daughter, children at various stages of life and action. We are all the sum of our past, which finds expression in our present action, and which action prepares us for our future role. We note that the next chapter of Luke, immediately after Jesus' reception of the Spirit, in that chapter, he is sent into the desert to face his own attacks by the devil. The temptations were an attempt to deceive Jesus into doing wrong. He recognized and resisted them, thanks to the power of the Spirit, and emerged unscathed. I remember as a child my confirmation when the bishop lightly smacked me on the side of the cheek. I was expecting it, but it was still a surprise. Its symbolic meaning to me was to remind me now I was a soldier of Christ. I too would enter into many battles of good versus evil. The church teaches that the sacrament of confirmation confirms that initial reception moment into the church which proclaims the new life in Christ. And it's seen as a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, empowering the believer to take personal responsibility to live as a faithful soldier of Christ. So Jesus was baptized, received the Holy Spirit, was commended and encouraged by his Father, and full of the Spirit, was victorious in his battle against temptation. No less for us is this path laid out for us to follow. The saltier parts of this reading remind us that Jesus is not just Saviour, but Judge. John the Baptist uses rural images: winnowing fork, threshing floor, gathering wheat and burning chaff. Gathering and judgment. We are to hear God and to act accordingly. We are to be ready to stand before God when our time is come, with a clear heart and, of course, with confidence also in his loving mercy. There is good television and bad television, and recently I saw some very good television. It was the story of the Nile River. Perhaps you've been watching the series. In the upper reaches of the Nile, the Coptic Christians of Sudan are baptized in a most refreshing way. Refreshing for me to see the faith and the bright faces of those about to be baptized. None of your dribbling water over the forehead. Here was a joyous leaping by the faithful into a vast pool filled with the waters of the Nile. The bishop blessed the waters, and this was a signal to leap in and receive baptism, to receive the gift of the Spirit, to acknowledge that gift. One particular chap took his time. He was dwelling in a moment of private prayer before God. This was a significant moment. This was a time of commitment to Christ, the time to acknowledge that he had been chosen by God, and he wanted to make it personal and meaningful. And in he jumped, and up he burst through the surface, gasping and drawing his first breath of new life. He had been immersed in the waters of new birth. He had given his life to Christ at this big, very physical moment, which gave him, of course, a very big spiritual uplift. He was reborn in Christ, and it showed. His face was suffused with joy. I felt that he had heard these words of God for himself. You are my son, the beloved. In you I am well pleased. Each time we rededicate our lives to God, I pray that we will be soaked in our awareness of our rebirth in Christ. A rebirth that was given to us on the day of our baptism. I pray that we will continually rejoice in the fullness of the presence of the Holy Spirit this day and every day for the rest of our lives. Amen.